Blog Talk Radio.
Bonjour, mes amis, ça va bien? I hope we're all ça va bien-ing tonight. This is Sybil Brunson, Mummy, coming to you live with Come Now, Don't Sulk, part of the Here Be Monsters studio on Blog Talk Radio Network. We're actually broadcasting or podcasting to you live all around the world at this very moment. Can you imagine? We're talking to Australia, we're talking to Germany and England, we're talking to Pakistan, and we've got listeners from all around the world. They're all tuned in to the United States right now for our election, not because we're so fabulous, but because we're so dangerous. We're really dangerous, darlings. You know, there's a time when people used to look to us and our Statue of Liberty was a metaphor for how wonderful we were. And now, of course, we're just a living nightmare with weapons. We're like a big, fat, jiggly baby in a filthy crib with a giant brown soiled diaper that hasn't been changed in almost 4 years. And we have weapons of mass destruction. And that's why everyone's watching us, not because we're cute, but because we're drooly and pimply and scary. And normally a parent would take a child like that and leave it on the hillside for the wolves to carry away. But there are no parents to carry us away. We got rid of our parents back in 1789. We got rid of George III and his wife Charlotte, and we became our own person. Can you imagine? And now here we are, a big, brown, soiled, dirty baby screeching and drooling, picking its nose, biting its toenails, and killing anything that wanders into our crib. So that's where we are, and that's what people are listening to and watching for tonight. I'm Sybil Brunson, and this again is Come Now, Don't Sulk, and that wonderful woman chuckling in the background, in alto, by the way. She's almost a baritone laugh now. That is my wonderful producer and my bestest pal in the whole world, Gwendolyn Holdenberry. Gwendolyn, how are you tonight?
I'm nervous.
Okay, all right. Nervous. Well, we're going to talk about that in just a second. We're going to get right into that because before we turn the on-the-air sign on every week, Gwendolyn and I have a few minutes to chat, and because we're no longer in the studio together, we're, of course, podcasting from different parts of the country. Mummy is just outside of Philadelphia in the suburbs on the main line, and, of course, Gwendolyn is in Port St. Lucie, Florida. So we are simultaneously broadcasting to all of you. And by the way, I just want to remind all of you, this is Here Be Monsters studio on the Blog Talk Radio Network, and this is Come Now, Don't Sulk. And our sponsors tonight and every night until the world ends is daughtersofisis.com. That's all one word, daughtersofisis.com. Do look it up on your laptop while we're doing our show tonight. It's the fragrant memories of our ancestors. And Daughters of Isis is our, as I said, our weekly sponsor. And we are sponsored by them, and we're also sponsored by listeners like you. Thank you. If you'd like to advertise on our show or even be an anonymous donor, as many people are on the public broadcasting system, do contact either Gwendolyn or me on Facebook, private message us, and we will tell you how to go about doing that. And we welcome advertisers and sponsors and listeners like you. Again, thank you. Our phone number tonight, by the way, before Gwendolyn and I start chatting, is 323-784-9639. That's 323-784-9639. Do call in, join the conversation. Tonight is the night that we've all been wondering about and thinking about, like Christmas, the Christmas in hell. You know, they always say, oh, it's 300 days till Christmas. Well, we've been thinking about this day since 4 years ago tonight, or tomorrow if you want, that ill-fated night, election night, at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, when Hillary Clinton and all of the Jacob Javits Center, all those thousands of people with the millions of dollars worth of catering, suddenly looked at each other like Daffy Duck in the Bugs Bunny commercial cartoons with gunpowder all over their faces and sort of a, like Jackie Gleason in a hamama, 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 hamama. At 7 o'clock, everyone knew the horror, the sheer Titanic sinking, San Francisco earthquake crumbling, Hindenburg explosion horror that Hillary Clinton at 7 p.m., not at 2 in the morning, not at 7 in the morning, the following, 7 p.m. The polls had barely closed, and we already knew, as Brian Williams said, and Rachel Maddow and everybody, that she had lost, and that Satan, hail mammon, hail the almighty green, booger green dollar, had won. Won the presidency. And all those people, and you know who you are on Facebook, all of my Facebook friends who had said, oh, wow, Hillary's ahead by 7 points. Hillary's ahead by 4 points. I won't name them. I won't. But GB, MM, yeah, initials. You all gloated and drooled and slapped each other on the back and glad-handed each other and congratulated each other on how Hillary Clinton was going to sweep the election. And she went down in flames, and we were stuck with Satan, with Satan. So here we are, and you wonder why Gwendolyn and I are shitting in our pants. Gwendolyn, you'll have to put a waiver on the broadcast tonight because I said that. So anyway, yes, Gwendolyn, talk to us. First of all, do you have your piece of whiskey in front of you?
I have better than that. I am crawling under my covers tonight and staying there with my Irish bread pudding. And it's lovely. It's lovely, you know, the cream sauce they send with it, and two shots of whiskey. And I've just bathed it, let it soak for 3 hours here now. And I'm crawling.
I'm just calling spade a spade, Gwendolyn. There's no pudding in your Irish pudding. You're just going to bed with a couple of bottles of rye and whiskey and bourbon and scotch and a glass of ice. You'll be lucky if you even get the glass of ice under the covers with you. I can see you resting the bottle sideways.
I have my balls of ice for my cocktail, my short on the rocks glass, and I am going there because it's been one hell of a weekend, one hell of a week last week. It was just boom, boom, boom. And I think most people went through that. And by the way, anybody wondering what this week's fragrance is, it's dragon's blood. Get your dragon's blood.
Tell us all about it.
Dragon's blood, it evaporates negativity and leaves a positive vibration behind. It's a very old remedy for evil. The Catholics used it. Everyone uses it.
So it's an old recipe? It's an old recipe of some sort.
It's an old resin incense. It's blood red. It's getting more and more difficult to come with. It's always been part of the church blend, and they cornered the market on it. In fact, when I buy the resin, I buy it from a subsidiary of the Roman Catholic Church. But here's the thing. The oil blend that I created has a little bit of a ruby red macerated oil that I create with the resin. Into it, I blend essential oils. And I use amber and strax and patchouli and mugwort and myrrh. And myrtle's in there. And I infuse it with great, great tornadoes of white light and a dragon from the sky to chase off.
I was born in the year of the dragon, so I think I should definitely, I probably will be very much at home with that fragrance. That's good to know.
It's earthy, it's sweet, but it also has a presence to it. And people use it to vacate their environment, vacate themselves of any negativity, leaves a positive vibration behind. So this is the week of the dragon. It really is, the dragon's blood.
Okay. Well, that's very good to know. And folks listening tonight, or listeners from from Toledo to Timbuktu. You can find that fragrance on daughtersofisis.com. That's daughtersofisis.com, all one word, on your laptop tonight, the fragrant memories of our ancestors. So do check that out and check all of their products. Gwendolyn has over 500 products available on daughtersofisis.com. Talk about a cornucopia of an abundance, a surfeit of wonderful, wonderful, wonderful products and experiences. So please, all factory and metaphysical experiences. Again, our phone number is 323-784-9639. That's 323-784-9639. Gwendolyn and I have been talking now for a couple of years about this night. So this is like, again, Christmas Eve in hell. And it's like you're talking about it as children about Christmas is coming, and that's a time of excitement. And this is a time for us adults. This is a time of sheer exciting terror, because I've seen astounding things on Facebook and Twitter and everything. People are again glad-handing each other about the point leads that Biden has over Trump. We know that some states are lost causes. That is definitely sad, because Gwendolyn and I have talked about this. In a best case scenario, let's all breathe for a second. Let's take a sip of our margaritas or our martinis or our hard ciders or whatever, and let's just think for a second. In a best case scenario, this is what I see. We win the White House, we win the Senate, we win the House of Representatives. Let's go even farther. We win governorships, we win state legislatures. Let's say that it is truly a blue tidal wave. And we not only win, we win by enormous numbers. So not only have we won everything, but we've won startling landslides, even locally. We win. Okay? So let's just imagine that, just for fun, as if we've gotten a pony on Christmas morning. Okay. We will still have two things. We will have at least 4 years of rabid, that's R-A-B-I-D, protesting, hostility, conspiracy theories. We will have rabid, angry denials and refutations of the results, even if they're landslides. Everyone will consider, that whole group will consider this to be a conspiracy by the left, communist takeover of the country, gallopingism, blah, 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 all of that. That's one thing we'll have. You can rest on that. Donald Trump, Mitch McConnell, Mitch McConnell's so old. You know what? He may be thrilled to lose. He may be really that, but their constituents will go crazy. And more terrifying than that, because even when those controversies die down, we will still, and forgive me for saying this, be stuck with them. Capital T-H-E-M. They will still be in our workplaces. They will still be at our Thanksgiving dinner tables once we are past the COVID crisis. They will still, the people gleefully drooled and shook their pitchforks and their torches at the sky, laughing and hoo-haing about the wall with Mexico and the $1 trillion deficit and the giveaway to the 1% and Wall Street. They will still be sitting there in our homes, in our next door neighbors' yards. We will still have them around. They hate LGBTQ people. They hate anyone who's a different color than pasty white. They hate anything but straight, white, males, and Stepford wives. They hate women's rights. They hate women's reproductive rights. They hate equal pay for women. They hate. Okay? So let's just call a spade here. Even if we win everything, by a landslide. We will be confronted with a crippling 4 years of conspiracy thinking, of conspiracy accusations, and we will live still with people who came out from under their rocks and showed who they were. And maybe they'll smile, and maybe they'll try to shake our hands, but never forget. This is never, ever forget. Just be honest. And I'm sorry if this comes off as hateful. I'm sorry if this doesn't come off as bridge building. But I saw what was done to Barack Obama for 4 years. He won the presidency, and he was vanquished at every turn. And this is what will happen to Joe Biden. If Joe Biden does not win by a landslide, if Joe Biden does not get the Senate or the House of Representatives or both, if he doesn't get enough governorships, he will be surrounded by naysaying, blocking, stonewalling people who will be determined to ruin his presidency. So let's just really be clear with each other right now tonight, okay? And I want to say one last thing, and then I'm going to turn it over to Gwendolyn. If you don't vote, okay, I mean this seriously, if you don't vote and haven't voted already and don't vote tomorrow, or if you vote stupidly for Jill Stein or Gary Johnson or whoever or Ralph Nader or whoever the idiot du jour this year is, if you vote stupidly, you will deserve every piece of mischief that comes your way. So if you're gay or black or a woman or Hispanic and you vote stupidly or you're too lazy to vote, then you will deserve whatever horror comes down the pike this next 4 years. People died for our right to be free and to be have equal rights and to have the right to vote. People in war after war, decade after decade, century after century, 250, 300 years ago, people walked into bayonets and cannon fire right down the block from where I live here in Philadelphia. Right down the block. I live 4 minutes from Valley Forge. People walked into bayonets in the dead of winter and died hideously so that you could have a chance to be free of the old world. This was a whole new part of the world, and it was a whole new experiment. They walked into bayonets and cannon fire. They froze and starved to death. Their families died. They gave their lives so that you would have a chance to vote and be equal. Okay? And this, if you do not vote, you can go straight to hell. God damn you. And if you dare to complain, you can go straight to hell. No complaining. If you didn't vote and you let this whole thing unravel, and I was looking at the statistics of who doesn't vote. I was horrified, Gwendolyn, today. I Googled it, and I went to all the different sites with all the demographics of the kind of people that don't vote. I was stunned. So I don't care if you're married or you're single. I don't care if you're black or brown or green or purple. I don't care if you're old or young. I don't care if you've got four legs or no legs. I don't care what your demographic is. I watched it who wasn't voting. I was shocked. And I'm telling you right now, if you didn't vote, you are damned. And you deserve every terrible thing that a nightmare like Adolf Hitler or Mussolini or Donald Trump comes up with. You deserve every single horrible thing that could possibly happen if you are not willing to do your responsibility as a citizen of this country, then go to hell. Okay? I'm done. That's the end of my political discussion tonight. The rest of the evening is about Gwendolyn or brownie recipes. Gwendolyn, take it away. I'm going to drink my piece of whiskey while you talk now.
Well, I think we should all be very kind to one another right now and supportive, of course. And you're right. If people don't get out there and vote, this could be a catastrophe. And yet, we have nearly 100 million votes in, and that's just unheard of, not since before World War II. And
you're right.
It's that is that is inspiring, but I'm not going to, you know, chickens before, you know, they get here. I'm not going to count them.
Oh, yeah. No, but you're right. It's wonderful that people voted. Absolutely wonderful. People mailed in their votes. But we've got two problems with that.
Yeah.
We've got two problems with that. One is that there's rumors and the danger that people all over the country could be nullifying those votes, throwing those votes away. We don't know what could happen there. You know what I'm saying? It's very, very disturbing that could be a situation
right.
where votes
they
could
found,
be.
They found like two large bins down in Miami in a post office stacked with votes, mail-in votes. Now that's a Republican in the Miami office downtown, the separator office or whatever the main. So they got those over. They got those votes over by armored cart to sweep to the clerk of the court.
Yeah.
But now they have to go through and find out who did this, who was the saboteur, and
yeah.
You know, Dade County is usually very blue. It's one of the blue strongholds in the state. An interesting thing I saw, you know, that the villages, you know, the Ku Klux Klan retirement community on the I-4 corridor area that basically did the golf cart parade for Trump. Well, yesterday there was a parade of golf carts, one for Trump and one for Biden. Half the people that voted for Trump last time are voting for Biden this time. So I found that uplifting. There's a lot of uplifting things, but I'm still nervous because I went to bed thinking Hillary had it and I woke up to the nightmare.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So
yeah.
I don't take anything, and I worked that campaign. This time around, I really didn't work the campaign because I said, you know what, if people can't see what's in front of them, and I got very busy with my own work. But I got to tell you, I have heard from people who've been campaigning, and it's not looking bad. What really concerns me more than the presidency is that we capture the Senate with huge numbers. I just want it to be more than four. I want it to be every damn seat available. I really do.
Yes.
And I don't, because, and you know, McConnell, he's got the state rigged, so I doubt if he'll lose, even if he does lose. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
He can have ballot boxes stuffed, you know? I don't trust Kentucky.
My only hope, I agree with you, and I worry that Lindsey Graham won't lose either. My only hope there is that the Senate is turned blue and the House of Representatives stays blue, and that Mitch McConnell and Lindsey Graham are humiliated daily by their blue senators, their co-holders. Sorry, I'm tongue-tied. I hope that if McConnell survives, I hope he sits in abject misery for the next 4 years with a Senate that looks like that. I just hope that that's what happens. You know, it's just, it's very, very, very discouraging.
I'll tell you, I don't know. I do know this, that it's got to stop. And the first thing that, other than putting the DOJ back together and getting them on top of the indictments that need to come down, the other thing they need to do is the House and the Senate need to come to the conclusion of appointing three more Supremes. You know, there's just no question.
But that's going to look like packing the court. That is going to look like packing the court.
Fuck them. Fuck them. Fuck them. I am at the fuck them point. Uh-uh.
I'm going to say something else since we don't have a caller yet. I do want to say this. There's a part of me, I know people are going to gasp when I say this, but I've said it before to you and you've chuckled. I'm almost at the point where I want everyone to vote red. I'm terrified that Biden and the Senate and everything will turn blue and that that's when the great stock market crash will happen and the trillion-dollar deficit will come home to roost and that the United States will again be where it was on October 29th, literally in 1929. That's what I'm saying. I know, but what I'm concerned about is that then that will validate Donald Trump and Mitch McConnell, all of them, Steve Scalise, Breitbart, all of those people will laugh. I'm sorry, what?
There's no moral redemption in going for the money. It's just how I see it, honey. I mean, you know what? We've picked them up and laid them down. Ann Eller would snicker. Because, really, there isn't anything we can't accomplish once we get our character right, our ideals, our values on the table. And the stock market is nothing but an indicator for other people's money, not the majority of this country.
No question. You're absolutely right. The problem is that if it crashes and it takes the economy down the way it did in 1929 and the way it did in 2008, that was a miracle that we came out of that. And if the stock market really crashes, this trillion-dollar deficit really, really, really blows a hole through the middle of this country's health. They will twist it and make it that, see, Joe Biden was bad for business. I can't believe the number of small business owners and the working class people who continue to repeat that Trumpian lie that Joe Biden on day one is going to raise their taxes. Every commercial they've got is Joe Biden's going to raise your taxes. It's like, no, he's going to raise the taxes on people who make more than $400,000. And by the way, at $400,000, it's sliding scale. It's not like he takes half your money if you make $400,000. It's a percentage, and it climbs on up until when you get to $400 million. Yes, you're going to be taxed heavily for $400 million. But these people, these sad, again, three toothed hillbillies from Buttpoke, Idaho, who make $10,000 a year, are like, I don't want him coming to my house and raising my taxes.
He'll take the washing machine
off my front porch.
They don't even pay taxes. If you don't make over $12,000 a year, you don't even pay taxes.
Point. There's an incredible level of stupidity out there where these people, and I'm sorry, leave it to Mummy to move. Leave it to Mummy to not only move in an election year to the swingiest of the swing states, but ground zero. As I said on the ad tonight, I'm not only in the most provocative state as far as going purple and blue or red, but I'm literally down the street from Philadelphia. So it's like, my God, you'll be able to see the nuclear cloud from my front porch. I mean, I'm looking out there right now waiting to see the cloud rise over the horizon. It's like I am in the most provocative state and the most provocative part of that state with riots literally this past week.
You do have a call.
Looting and riots. We have a call. Let's welcome them in. Hello, caller.
Hi, how are you?
Pamela.
Yes, love, how are you?
How are you? Honey, thank you so much for your recipes on Sybil Brunson's Lollipop Guild. By the way, listeners at home, new listeners, we have a page on Facebook that is completely non-controversial. It doesn't espouse politics in any way. I did exhort people to go vote, but I didn't say for who. And it's a non-denominational page called Sybil Brunson's Lollipop Guild. It's for happy, cheerful, heartwarming posts and recipes and photographs and anecdotes and stories and jokes and children's puzzles and anything you want to put on there that is lovely and sweet and makes people want to go on living. That's why we created it. And our resident chef She's one of our food posters, but she is definitely our chef. An amazing chef is Pamela, who's on the phone right now. Pamela, thank you so much for the things you've been posting. I can't get over the little mummy hot dog frankfurters. Those were adorable. And of course, this week was lovely too. This recipe was very nice. So Food Friday.
I know we got to start getting ready for Thanksgiving now.
Yes, exactly. So Food Fridays, every Friday we try to post more recipes. And now that the election is over, and by the way, speaking of food, I thought about you, Pamela, all weekend, because as Gwendolyn just said, this weekend was just like so angsty. I spent the entire weekend cooking. I made 2 meatloafs. I made meatballs. I made chicken soup. I was doing all sorts of things in the kitchen. The only thing I didn't do, because I live in a heart healthy house, is I didn't do any desserts. I didn't bake anything or make desserts, but I was cooking. I was working wonders with turkey and chicken, poultry, and you know, we're in a no red meat house, so I couldn't do veal or pork or beef or lamb or. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm drooling all over my blouse. No, but I was cooking. So you were in my kitchen with me in spirit all weekend, Pamela. Do you want to give us a coming attraction of what we should be looking for this next couple of weeks before Thanksgiving? Do you have any ideas you want to tell us or you want to surprise?
I do. So we're going to start, we're going to go in order. So we're going to start with appetizers this Friday. And then on the 13th, we will do some spins on the main course.
Friday
and then
the 13th, I'd forgotten, right, yeah.
I know, right? And then on the 20th, we'll do some fun side dishes. And then on the 27th, which will be after Thanksgiving, something to do with the leftovers.
I love that. That's great. And by the way, I just want to ask, because I just got a private message on my Facebook page from a listener. I don't know why people message me but don't call in, but I won't say the name since he didn't. But he said, could you ask Pamela could her recipes, if in the event that Donald Trump wins, could all her recipes between now and the inauguration day be black food? Black, not meaning African American. No, it would just be whatever you make. Would you please make all the food black? And it would just be morning black. It'd be morning. So, in other words, the strawberry shortcake recipe, we'll dye the strawberries and the biscuits black. We'll just have black food.
Yes.
It could be nutritious. It could be delicious. But it must all be black in morning. It'll just, we Americans will have black teeth from now on because we'll just eat black food. And that'll be the answer. We may as well start hanging the crepe now, as the Italians say. My gosh. Well, I love your idea.
Oh, and I may throw in my grandmother's roll recipe for fresh rolls.
Oh, wonderful.
So it's something that it's a yeast dough. It's like a crescent dough, but you make it and you actually refrigerate it overnight and just bake it in the morning. So.
Oh, and the refrigeration only slows the yeast down. It doesn't kill it.
Right.
Can I ask you something? Honestly, and this is something I wanted to ask Pamela on a couple of occasions. Obviously, we love our homemade food, et cetera, blah, blah, blah.
Yes.
And Wegmans is now escalated the ready-made foods into the gourmet.
Yes.
I mean, you can go in and buy things that are in refrigerator cases marked Wegmans and take it home, microwave it, or heat it up in the oven, and it's heartbreakingly delicious. So they've got,
right.
You know,
have you had a
Wegmans
sub yet?
No,
you guys
I haven't.
Have got me into my bread pudding here. I mean, you're making my mouth water.
Good. But this is my question for Pamela, being a serious foodie. Are there foods that are mass produced? And I'll give you an example. Pillsbury Doughboy, the pop and crescent things, or the dinner rolls, or the cinnamon. Is there a food like that where you hit the tube of dough on the counter and it pops open and it's the crescents or whatever, the croissant crescents, whatever. Mm-hmm. Is there a food like that that's mass-produced that you think is absolutely delicious? We know that there's still mass-produced food out there, like a Swanson TV dinner that's sad. But is there a food that is mass-produced that you for instance, I think Skippy peanut butter is absolutely extraordinary. It's mass-produced.
Yeah, it is.
The brand name is gigantic.
Yeah.
But of all the peanut butters, and even the others, just Peter Pan, they're good. They're really good.
Right.
I don't need to go buy gourmet peanut butter at $40 a jar. I don't need to do that.
Right.
Skippy breaks my heart. So what is a junk food? Or junk. Is there a mass-produced corporate food that you
I will tell you that I always have, and I think they're delicious, is Marie Callender's pot pies.
I would agree. I would agree. I think that those are absolutely excellent. Yeah.
They are.
What's your favorite flavor? What ones do you like?
I like the chicken and broccoli one.
Chicken and broccoli is your favorite. Mine is human baby with carrots. It's hard to find. Marie Callender has been very careful about human baby with carrots. They're afraid of food allergies, but I still find baby pie delicious. I'd love the dead silence. My God, what, Gwendolyn, did you die?
No.
She's drinking.
I am.
I love the chicken pot pie by Marie Callender. I think it's outstanding. But you know what I just got recently that's outstanding is the Wegmans house chicken pot pie, their own brand.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. Their chicken pot pie is unbelievable. I mean, I did do something naughty the other day. I took a stick of butter and, you know, rubbed the top of it before I put it in the oven. Just to give it a little bit more of a golden glow, but I didn't need to because the crust is already pretty fabulous. I agree with you though. The Marie Callender pot pies are wonderful, and I have to tell you, about a year ago, I bought a Pillsbury crescent roll thing, whatever it was, and I was doing a recipe with it, and I popped them open and I baked them. They were wonderful. They were wonderful.
Oh, yeah.
They were flaky and wonderful. They did not disappoint. They weren't doughy. They weren't hard and creepy. They came out beautifully. It's like every once in a while there's some mass produced food out there that they still are getting fairly right. You know, it's interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. Now, like the banquet pot pies or the Swanson. Yeah, I don't do those.
No,
but the Marie Callender ones I do.
I have to tell you, I think I'm stunned that Banquet is even still in business. I'm surprised. Well, no, but I'm surprised when you go to the second tier stores like Kroger or, in my opinion now, Whole Foods. I think Whole Foods is dropped way down. It's like those B movies in Hollywood in the 1940s. Whole Foods dropped to a B level store. I would rather go to Gristiti's back in New York than I would go to Whole Foods. Whole Foods was ruined overnight by Amazon. Ruined by Amazon. Shame on them for buying that company and ruining it. And thank God that I live near Wegmans, so I don't have to go down the block to Whole Foods. But I'm surprised that when you go to Kroger's or those second-tier stores now, you'll find brands like Banquet. It's like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
My God, awful. I mean, Green Giant frozen vegetables are still – what can you do to vegetables? I mean, it's like, you know, you harvest them and you get them into sub-zero freezers, and they're pretty much good.
Right.
Some of those odd brands are just bizarre to me, bizarre brands. And it's interesting how they've been dying out slowly but surely over the last 20 years. Shaving creams and toothpastes and certain frozen foods are going by the wayside, you know. Bird's Eye, Swanson. Yeah, as you said Swanson. And what's the other frozen TV dinner? It was Bird's Eye, Swanson, and what was another
Banquet.
One?
Banquet.
But well, there was one more that was TV
Hungry
dinners.
Man. Hungry Man.
I remember them more often, though, for their cans of soup. Didn't they do the big Hungry Man soups that were hearty soups? Yeah.
They did.
Yeah.
I remember Dinty Moore beef stew being very tasty.
Oh yeah.
And then there was the gay scandal, and they came out with Dainty Moore, which only lasted for a short time. he was in a powder blue lumberjack shirt with a peplum, and he had a beauty mark and a cigarette holder, and it just never worked. Dainty Moore, it just never worked. And of course, Minnesota and Wisconsin went nuts. They hated it. And instead of Big Blue, the ox, he had Mr. Fifi, his poodle, beside him. And, you know, he didn't chop wood down. He didn't chop trees down. He just scratched them very badly with his fingernails. It just didn't work. It didn't, but whatever. What are you doing tonight, Pamela, before the election? Are you baking up a storm? Are you drinking? What are you doing?
I'm actually, a friend of mine has come out with a tonic, because tonic isn't supposed to be carbonated, like tonic water kind of thing. So he has decided to start bottling and making his own tonic that you can add with gin or vodka or anything like that. So I've been trying that this evening to see which I like better, the gin and tonic or the vodka and tonic. So,
but it's made with quinine?
No, it's not, actually.
Well, does it taste like tonic water? Like, does it have that wonderful...
It tastes like tonic water. It's a tonic,
but
so you mix... Yeah, it's flat. Yeah, right. It's flat. So it's you mix
so
it with...
So it does have quinine in it, because quinine is what makes tonic water taste like. It's just not carbonated.
No, it's not carbonated at all.
Yeah.
No.
I love tonic, and I love gin and tonics. I love, you know, Tanqueray and tonic.
So,
I love tonic.
He just came out with... this product, and it's online now. It's the Bearded Maestro is what he goes under because he's a musician. And he's started marketing this tonic, and he's also started, he started his own beard oils and stuff because he's got a very long beard. So he started that to where he was tired of using beard oils that didn't smell like they said they were supposed to smell.
Oh, now, where is he selling these? Is he doing it with private customers, or does he sell it at local stores?
He just started, so it's online. So he has a website and that online, The Bearded Maestro, and eventually he's going to start selling it in stores. He's located here in Winter Park, Florida. But anyways, that's what I'm doing today. I'm trying his homemade tonic. So
that's great. Are you mixing it with alcohol? Are you mixing it with the booze?
I am, with gin.
With gin. So you're having a gin and tonic from the Bearded Maestro. That's fabulous. What gin are you using?
I'm using a Bombay.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, now, I'm going to tell you something. Yes, it's so funny you said that, because Tanqueray and tonic is the old, you know, alliterative catch-all. But my friend, my wonderful, wonderful, wonderful friend, Lois Ritz, and Lois and David Ritz, who are my Cherry Grove neighbors right across the boardwalk from George and myself, there on Duryea Walk. Lois and David always have cocktail hour out on their deck. Even during the COVID crisis, we were social distancing, that we were out there, and she always makes Bombay and tonic, and I love Bombay and tonic. I love Sapphire gin, Bombay Sapphire for martinis and stuff, but just normal Bombay gin and tonic. Oh my God, it is so beautiful. It's just delicious. And I'm sending my love to Lois and David. I didn't get to see them at the end of this season because we moved to Philadelphia and we just couldn't manage to get back up there. But my goodness, when I ache for laughter with them in the afternoon, I just have a Bombay and tonic and think about my two lovely pals in Cherry Grove. I just adore them, and my heart goes out to both of them. I hope their season ended beautifully. I love Bombay and tonic and a big slice of lime or two. And ice cold, right? You love it. Ice cold. I like my gin brittly cold. Yes, lots of lime and brittle cold. Yeah, absolutely. That's how I like my martinis, brittle cold. I want them like, you know, that's why I keep my gin
almost
in the
frozen.
Yeah, well, but you can't freeze gin. I mean, in a freezer.
Right, but
it's like
just to that point where...
Oh, yes, yes. So you're not baking up a storm to drown your sorrows or your fears tonight?
No, no.
I gotta tell
no,
you,
I'm
if I was
tonight.
In a, if I wasn't in a heart healthy house, I would be making salted chocolate chip cookies tonight, you know, with caramel bits or something. I mean, I love chocolate chip with sea salt cookie, you know, that sort of, I love that salt and
sweet
thing.
Oh, yeah, that salt and sweet, yeah.
Oh, the house would smell like that. I would, you know, I'd be doing something naughty with caramel or dark chocolate and dough and salt. I would just be drowning my sorrows. And, you know, I would have a gin, you know, a gin and tonic. And then I'd have my lipstick way outside my lip line. And I would have put two or three beauty marks on myself and one false eyelash under my nose, like Hitler's mustache. I would just be a drunken slob under my desk right now because I am terrified at what tomorrow morning is going to bring. I'm just terrified. So I'm going to look up a recipe for pierogies from my pal Pamela and make 3,000 of them and wedge them into my mouth and simply choke myself to death on pierogies, your grandmother's pierogies. It's either that or injecting heroin. I don't know what to do about this election.
I have a question. I mean, I enjoy an occasional gin and tonic. My Uncle Alex got me into that. And all that time in Cairo, but I like the gin and tonic when it's ice cold, and I love the carbonation that the tonic brings. So I'm like, I'm missing something here with a non-carbonation.
Wait, you like the carbonation too, right?
I do, yeah.
I do too, so that's why when Pamela mentioned uncarbonated tonic water, I find that fascinating. That would be an interesting thing to taste.
She's right. She's right, because tonics are not really carbonated, the true tonic.
Right.
Huh. I guess they aren't. But when you open a bottle of Schweppes Bitter Lemon, or not Bitter Lemon, but tonic, or Canada Dry tonic, or those tonic, they do hiss. They do make a sound.
Yeah, they do. They do.
And not as bubbly.
They do because they're
don't
carbonated.
They don't explode like club soda. You know, but there's something going on in there.
But it's still some sort of carbon dioxide carbonation that's in there.
Yes. So you're saying your friend is making it with nothing. No carbonation.
No carbon dioxide at all.
And it's delicious.
Now, you can add sparkling water if you want that carbonation or something, you know, to add your carbonation if you want. But
yeah, but you have to be careful about that because so many club sodas have various ones have a salt thing going. I mean, Perrier, I don't like Perrier at all. It's too salty for me. It's just no matter how many limes you put in it or lemons, it's salt to me. You know,
it's a mineral. Perrier is a mineral though. That's a mineral water.
Yes, but there are mineral waters
that
have less salt in them than that. It's like Pellegrino, for instance. When I go out for Italian food and I have a Pellegrino, I don't find it to be cloying. I feel thirsty after a Perrier. Like when I drink Perrier, it makes me thirsty. Pellegrino doesn't make me thirsty. It's a wonderful, refreshing thing, right?
Yeah, Pellegrino's good.
But I love tonic water. And when I was little, I used to drink tonic water. My grandmother introduced it to me. I used to drink tonic water as a child with a slice of lime. And everyone was like amazed. I mean, I was very little. And we'd go out to restaurants. My parents and my grandparents taught me how to be very polite in restaurants and to hold my fork in my left hand. I was very continental table manners. And I would have a tonic with a lime, and I'm like, I was five or four, and the waiters would, you know, recognize me and knew, and then say, oh, there she is, and they're just, you know, there's Sybil. Oh, Sybil, here's your stem glass. They used to serve it to me in a stem glass, you know, so there would be like a glass of champagne with tonic on it and a slice of lime or whatever, and it like a gimlet, and I would drink it, and then, of course, they'd light my cigarette, and dinner would go on just like it should go on, I mean, like any child, and so it was, but I mean, I had like that kind of taste. And my grandmother thought it was very amusing that I loved tonic water at such a young age. You know, I love the taste of it. That soury.
Yeah. See, for me, it was club soda and lime. I love club soda and lime.
I do too.
I never really drank
like
soda. I drank club soda. Like
never. You were
Pepsi
never.
Or,
you never liked Coke or Pepsi or. Interesting.
No.
I went through a weird orange crush
club soda
phase.
With lime.
Yeah. I went through a weird orange crush phase for one summer. I did orange crush floats, and I loved vanilla ice cream and orange crush. And I loved
the
root beer.
That's a creamsicle. That, I actually, that's one of my, in my children's aromatherapy collection is the creamsicle scent.
Uh-huh.
I call it Tangerine Day or Tangerine. Ooh. That's bad, Gwen. You don't remember your titles. Tangerine Dreams, I think. But it smells like a creamsicle, an orange creamsicle.
You know, it's interesting you mentioned tangerines because I wonder if there's a soda that tastes really like tangerine, not fake tangerine, because if you could find it, that with vanilla ice cream in it would be an amazing experience because I love tangerines. Tangerines take orange just that little bit more. One of my favorite things in the world, and it's unfortunate because I have to have it shipped. It's totally a luxury. You know, it's an extravagance. It's Werner's ginger ale. And, you know, I grew
really?
Up with
you don't have it in they don't have it in Wegmans?
No.
That's why.
No, I have to have it shipped to me. And I adore Werner's ginger ale. Oh, my God.
We have,
totally
we have
different
that
than any
in,
other ginger ale.
It is.
We have
it's
Werner's
totally.
Up in Western New York, and we have Werner's down here in Publix. I see it all the time.
Wow.
You've got
well, maybe I'll have to look for
Publix?
It in a different store.
You've
what is it?
Werner's?
You've got Werner's in your Publix there?
I'm stunned.
Oh my, I've got
I can't believe
regular
it.
Regular Werner's and Diet Werner's. But yeah,
oh
we got Werner's.
Diet
we got Tab.
Anything.
We got Tab in the Publix.
Tab is funny. That reminds me of my mother. Tab.
I can't believe... Okay, Tab makes Diet Coke look like holy water. Tab is definitely a beverage that was created by Satan. The first time I tasted Tab, I nearly died. It was so toxic and scary. It's brown Mountain Dew is what it is. It's just like, oh my God, it is absolutely terrifying that anyone could have passed that as a taste test in a laboratory. I drink Diet Coke now and I'm horrified.
They're no longer going to be making it, but they still carry it as long as they have it in stock down here. So,
wow.
I didn't know they had Werner's in the – I'm going to tell my sister to look for Werner's. She brings home Canada Dry, and I'm like, thank you. That's nice. I really – if I have my druthers, I like the it starts with an S. That ginger ale is better than Canada Dry. And
Schweppes?
I can't think. Schweppes. It's a better a better ginger ale, but Werner's is in there, and she didn't see it. I'm for Kent.
Oh, for heaven's sakes! I've just gone on the computer, and it looks like Wegmans may have Werner's. Somewhere.
Yeah, I knew they would. Because they started in Western New York, Wegmans. So they carry it all up in Western New York, because that's where I'm from. But
yeah, but I wonder if they carry it down here. Do you think that they do it nationally?
Oh, yeah. I bet you they have it.
Well,
you check
your
soda aisle.
I'm going to go tomorrow. I'm gonna find out, because believe me, if I could bring home, oh, my God, imagine ginger ale. Werner's ginger ale from Wegmans. There is a God. Just incredible. There is a God. You know what? If Joe Biden loses, all is forgiven because I still could find Werner's at Wegmans. I'll just drown my sorrows in Wegmans, Werner's ginger ale, and Bombay gin. I'll just figure out a new cocktail.
There you go.
And I'll dye it black. And I'll dye it black.
listen, I made up a new cocktail on Samhain. Saturday evening, I had to have a cocktail with my ancestors. I have the pomegranate, you know, the palm juice. That's how I drink my water. I put a little in and drink a big glass of water with it in it. So I poured a little bit of the palm juice and some Jim Beam Black and one of my ice balls and a rock glass and topped it off with ginger ale. It was good. It was refreshing. It was good. I was like,
so pomegranate and Jim Beam Black.
Mm-hmm. With
just
ginger
those
ale.
Two things, and that's it.
Yeah.
That's fascinating. Where did you get that recipe? Or you just made it up?
I made it up because I needed to make a cocktail, and I had the palm juice, and, you know, I wasn't going to do palm juice and water. No, I had the little
boys
carbonation.
And girls at home. Boys and girls at home, this is why drugs are not the answer. I just thank God you had palm juice at your table and you didn't go ahead and drink Dragon's Heart or, you know, one of your fragrances. You didn't drink, you know, Giphy or Money or.
Do you know what's delicious?
Well, it was last year I had a bottle of Knob Creek. And I mixed it with the cinnamon coke.
Oh, my God.
Cinnamon coke. Oh, my.
Cinnamon coke. I called it a winter creek. That's what I called
it. Wow.
It was absolutely delicious, the cinnamon with the because it's a bourbon and coke. So the cinnamon coke with the bourbon, it was delicious. With the Knob Creek, it was wonderful.
Sadly, it ruined your nail polish, though, right?
Yeah, right.
Here's a wonderful cocktail. It's very delicate. I did this out in Provincetown at a bar because I had a few bottles. I carry a little medicine bag with some essential oils in it around with me, and we'd stopped in for a drink before going on to check in. And it's Sapphire Gin, the Mombay Sapphire, and just ever so into the shaker, a drop of Otto of Rose. And I know there would be
people. Wait, say that again. What did you put in there? What?
A drop of Rose Otto essential oil.
Oh, my God.
And lots and lots of ice. And then topped it off with I think they used a little bit of, what is that mixer? It's not a sweet mix or anything. It's like a club soda, and it's not tonic, but it's just the other side. And shook it and shook it and shook it, and then put a rose petal in the, of course you drink a martini up. And into the glass with a rose petal, and it's a Cape Cod martini without the
cranberry. Oh, was it sour mix? Was it like sour mix or Schweppes bitter lemon or something? What was the mixture
It was something like, no, there was no lemon because it all came out rose. It was like a clean club soda, clean tonic, one of those that was clean. And all you get is that sapphire gin, but it has that rose through it. And it really
sounds genius.
It's delightful.
Oh,
but it's not for everybody.
That's a wonderful recipe. I just looked at the time. We're out of time. We're completely out of time. I'm going to wrap up, but I've got to do it quick. I want to thank Pamela for calling in. I thank you so much, Pamela. And
you're welcome.
I want to encourage everyone in the few seconds we have left, I insist that you vote. We all need to vote. So if you didn't mail in your vote, I want you to go and vote. I don't care how long you have to stand in line. You take a book, take a friend, but go and vote. Change this country. And a shaker and a cocktail. Our show tonight was brought to you, as it always is, by DaughtersOfIsis.com, the fragrant memories of our ancestors, and by listeners like you. Thank you. This was Come Now, Don't Sulk, here on the Here Be Monsters studio and part of Blog Talk Radio Network. We will see you next Monday after this election. Fingers crossed, everyone. I love you, Gwendolyn. I love you, Pamela. I love you, everybody. Good night.
I love you.
Good night.
Good night, Mommy.